Last week, President Obama stood on the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, and he addressed a crowd of thousands.
239 years after this nation's founding, our union is not yet perfect, but we are getting closer. Our job's easier because somebody already got us through that first mile. Somebody already got us over that bridge. When it feels the road's too hard, when the torch we've been passed feels too heavy, we will remember these early travelers and draw strength from their example.
The president's speech commemorated the event that's now known as Bloody Sunday. 50 years ago, peaceful civil rights marchers from Selma were met by police officers who used tear gas, clubs, and whips on the unarmed civilians. University of Washington communications professor David Domke was in Selma this weekend. He led students on a 9-day tour of key locations of the civil rights movement, and their pilgrimage culminated over the weekend at the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Domke and his fellow travelers stood about 50 yards from the president as he spoke. Domke says the mood at that rally was solemn and serious.
When John Lewis came up to the podium and introduced the president and said, you know, never in my imagination would I have be doing this 50 years later when I came across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And he turned and looked at the bridge, which is right behind him. And then the president stepped up and, honored the moment and recognized Amelia Boynton Robinson, who's 103 years old and was 53 and was on the bridge in 65 and was the founder of the Dallas County Voters League in the 1930s. It was just very serious and solemn. And I've been at campaign rallies for candidates, and that's what I thought it was going to be. It was not a campaign or candidate rally. It was a moment of recognizing what was happening. There was Amelia Boynton. There was John Lewis. There was a president.
It wasn't that solemn on Sunday as you marched across the bridge?
No, on Sunday it was much more of a celebratory atmosphere. Sunday was a very different crowd. There were people from all over the world there on Sunday. The crowd estimates range from 70,000, according to Reuters, to 120,000, according to the Alabama State Police. So it was very crowded in a very small space. So it was a sense that we were celebrating what had been accomplished on the bridge and where we've come.
David Domke, this is not the first time that you've traveled with a group, a civil rights pilgrimage. This particular time, this events that you're describing were the culmination. How was the spirit of this particular trip different for you?
It was much more layered with a sense of gravity. This was not a personal pilgrimage in the way that maybe some of the other trips that I've taken have, and I will be doing many more. This was a national pilgrimage, is what this was. Everybody who went recognized that this was a moment for America and not just themselves.
A lot of the 52 people who went with you were college students or a significant mm-hmm. percentage. I don't know how much you've been able to debrief with them, but what do you think they took away from this?
We ranged in age from 18 to 80, our group, interracial, intergenerational, three universities, University of Washington, Bellevue College, and Utah State University. And I think that everybody took away how profoundly difficult it is to do the kind of reconciliation work that we have to do. There's nobody who went on this trip who did not experience some kind of significant challenge and pain and then coming through that on the other side, that we came through it together. You know, our mantra was we go together. And that language, the we, it was the centerpiece of the president's speech on Saturday. There was this moment that, and this is the moment that I'm going to take with me forever, in which he said, the power of the word we.
We the people. We shall overcome. Yes, we can. That word is owned by no one. It belongs to everyone. Oh, what a glorious task we are given to continually try to improve this great nation of ours.
That ability for us together to do something that individually we cannot do is what I think all of us will take, because nobody can do this individually. In fact, we step away from it, or we get arrogant, or we're misguided. We have to do it together, and that does not come without significant challenge.
These marchers in 1965 had a very clear issue that they wanted to vote. 50 years later, 21 states still have voting restrictions in place. Voting could be the issue, but there are a myriad of things that one could be marching for. In your mind, what should we be marching for?
I think we're marching for a sense of inclusivity in the American family definition. That, and this is what the president's speech was about, was who's in that family? Who's in that family? Is it still a white nuclear family, one man, one woman with children? Or is it now a family that is robustly defined? So there's two men, maybe two women who are parents. Maybe there's no children. Maybe, and it's certainly not a white only family. It's not a been here for five generations family. It could be someone who just came across. In his speech, he mentioned coming across the Rio Grande. Very important symbolism he included there. So to me, you're marching for the definition of the American family. And that is a more amorphous, vague thing. But at the same time, is the moral calling that leads to policy pushes in all kinds of domains.
You know, it's interesting that you were talking about the John Lewis introducing the president 50 years after the march across the Pettus Bridge and Bloody Sunday, and him saying that he never expected to see anything like this in his lifetime. We are about to head into the 2016 presidential campaign. In fact, we're already in the 2016 presidential campaign. When President Obama was campaigning on the Yes, We Can, I'm not even sure if that was his, but somebody took that up, and it was such a powerful message. It electrified all kinds of people. On the night that he was elected, the images of Chicago were amazing. Can we see that again, do you think, in a country that's become really divided, more divided than ever in the last 8 years?
I'm 100% certain, yes. And going on these pilgrimages gives you such a sense of the strength and determination and love that's present among this newer generation that has been raised under the age of 25. They have a vision of the world that is so much more inclusive and determined and strong. These people are amazing. And, you know, if for no other reason to go on these trips with this 15 to 20 students, my God, they just leave you undone how strong and determined they are and how loving and supportive. Like, just like John Kennedy in 1960 turned the page, so did President Obama. And I think in this time and in this space, that page has been turned in a way that demographically cannot be turned back in this country. In the 1970s and 1980s, religious conservatives, white largely, turned that page back. I don't think this page can be turned back. I think that when you look at the ethnic, the sexual identity, the rising political influence of women, I just don't think that this can be stopped. And I think that that's what this signified for so many people, was the road has been long and hard, and it's going to stay long and hard, but the road is leading to the kind of language that King would use, Dr. King would use, kind of across the river into the promised land. It's never going to be easy, but I think there is a sense of hope that I see among young people that is not diminished by the difficulties of the Obama presidency.
David Domke is a communications professor at the University of Washington. He and a few of the civil rights travelers will talk about their trip tonight at 6:15 at the Seattle Central Library. Later this month, Domke will give a five-part lecture. It's called Marching to Selma. For more information, you can visit our website, kuow.org. You're tuned to The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.